بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today, with the grace and blessing and favor of Allah Azza wa Jal upon us, we will begin to discuss the chapter that deals with one of the pillars of Islam from the book of Umdatul Ahkam. And this chapter is the chapter of Az-Zakat. And what is Az-Zakat? Az-Zakat is a particular and specific amount that a Muslim has to pay when the conditions are fulfilled. So, we know that there are conditions for Zakat, and they call it the poor due. So it's not a general charity, it is what is due for the poor. And there are conditions for that. Among these conditions, Islam. So Zakat can only be taken from a Muslim. Secondly, that the amount of money or of wealth or of the item that you are going to give Zakat of has to reach an-nisab. And what is an-nisab? It is a certain limit. Below it, you don't have to pay Zakat. But if you have this limit or above, you must pay a Zakat. And the third condition is that the hawl is achieved. And what is the meaning of al-hawl? Al-hawl is the year. So when a whole year passes, then if you have the nisab, you must give the zakat. And it is important to know that zakat is paid only on four things. Once you master these four things and know them and understand them, you will find that everything else is easy. For example, the first thing that you have to pay zakat for is gold, silver, and whatever is considered to be similar to them in financial transactions, such as money. So gold and silver, we know that. And banknotes or money is also zakatable. And we will get to know, inshallah, what is the nisab for it? What is the limit? What's the minimum for it? Secondly, what is known as bahimatul an'am. And this is in reference to livestock. And when we talk about livestock, it has to be either camels, cows, or sheep, or the cousins. What do you mean by the cousins? Well, you have the goats, you have the bulls, etc. These are all from the same family, from the same species. And there is a different nisab for each one of them. Thirdly, the things that are grown from earth. And scholars say that not everything that comes out of earth we have to pay zakat for. And they specifically say that anything that can be stored and can be measured in size or weight, it's zakatable. So if someone tells me, how about fruit? Is it zakatable? We ask the question, can we store it? I said, no, after 5-6 days, it will decay. Then there is no zakat. What about vegetables? Can we store it? Same thing. If no fruit and no vegetables, so what are you referring to? The answer is grain. So you have wheat, you have barley, you have dates, you have raisin. All of these can be stored for long times, right? And they're measured by sa', which is form of measurement of size, or by kilograms, which is a form of measurement by weight. And watermelons, can we have zakat for that? No, because it is not either weight nor measured by size. It's measured by each piece, 5 pieces, 10 pieces, 100 pieces, and it cannot be stored. So this is the third category. The fourth category, which is also part of the things that are zakatable, and you will not find the word zakatable in your dictionary, so don't look for it. Zakat is the poor due, and zakatable meaning that you can take zakat out of it. This is a new word. I don't claim to be the first to use it, but I believe that inshallah it's usable. So the fourth category, it's an issue of dispute among scholars. However, the majority say that it is correct, such as Ibn Taymiyyah, Sheikh bin Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, and all our great scholars say that it is zakatable, and that is anything that is made for trade. So anything that is displayed to be sold, this is zakatable. If I have a grocery shop, all the merchandise inside, or a supermarket, this is zakatable because it's displayed to be sold. If I have a car showroom, this is zakatable. If I trade in clothes, this is zakatable. If I'm a real estate agent, I buy houses, I buy lands and plots, and I resell them. So the money invested is zakatable because I keep on buying and selling, buying and selling, buying and selling. Now, what are the categories that I've mentioned? What are the details? We have to go into deep discussion when we come to discuss it, but this is not the proper time. One would say, okay, among the things that we're usually concerned about is shares and stocks. Do we have to pay zakat over them? We have to look. Are you investing or are you selling and buying? And this is also, inshallah, we will come to discuss later on, but we would like to take the first hadith with us, Abdurrahman.
It is related from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu, to Yemen and said, "You will be meeting people of the scriptures, so when you see them, call on them to testify that there is no God worthy of being worshipped but Allah, and that I am the messenger of Allah. If they comply with that, then let them know that Allah has made the 5 prayers obligatory on them every day and night. If they comply with that, let them know that Allah has made the payment of zakah obligatory on them, to be taken from the wealthy among them and given to the poor. If they comply with that, avoid the best of their possessions when you take zakah, and beware of the supplication of the oppressed, for there is no barrier between Allah and it."
In this hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sets the guidelines for da'wah. And what are these guidelines? One, you should begin with the priority. And what is the most important thing in da'wah is the testimony, the shahada. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, first of all, had intel about the people of Yemen. So he did not send Mu'adh randomly and said, "Go and whatever happens, improvise." No, he knew about the people of Yemen and that they were followers of the scriptures. They are people of the scriptures. So he told them, "You will be coming to people of such and such," which means that preparation is extremely important. It is not a wise thing to go to a place without preparing for it, like cowboys do, and shoot from the hip. No, you have to prepare, you have to do your research, you have to be confident so that whenever you're challenged, whenever you're faced with a question, you usually have the guidelines that helps you to answer. So the Prophet told him, alayhi salatu wasalam, "When you meet these people, let it be. The first thing you call them to is to testify that there is no God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and messenger. So don't engage in side talk. A lot of the times, non-Muslims come to me and say, why is gold haram for men and not for women? So I spent a lot of time explaining. And then they say, okay, why is music haram? Music is very nice. It makes people, you know, chill and enjoy life and do this, do that. Oh, ho. Okay, why the women have to cover? Why the men don't cover? Why do this? Why do that? And I engage myself and waste my time in side talk. The Prophet tells me, nope, this is not the right way of doing it. What's the right way? Set the foundation. Then the foundation is prove the divinity of Allah Azza wa Jal, prove the existence of Allah, prove the oneness of Allah. This is number one. If we reach this, let's prove the authenticity of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and that he is the greatest messenger of Allah, and that he is the one who conveyed the message of Allah to us. Might take time, might be difficult, no problem. But it's worth working for. Other than that, would be worthless. If I cannot call them to testify that there is only Allah Azza wa Jal to be worshipped, and no one is worthy of being worshipped except him, I'd be wasting my time. Now, assume that they've answered me and accepted my call to them to testify the kalima. And then move on to priority number two. That is, inform them that Allah Azza wa Jal mandated 5 daily prayers. That's it. Don't talk to them about the sunnah. Don't talk to them about witr, night prayer, duha. Go with them with the basics. So, if they accept and they said okay, then move on to telling them that Allah Azza wa Jal has mandated a financial obligation in your wealth. And usually people, when they hear this, is, huh? Money? This is the hardest thing in our lives to give away. But the Prophet did not say, give me money. The Prophet did not say, alayhi salam, I need money for myself or for my troops or for my treasury. He said, tell them that Allah has obliged this financial portion in your wealth to be taken from your rich and returned and given back to the poor. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.